Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin our meditation in the Old Testament lesson. Yeah, there's something strange going on here, isn't there? Okay, in 1 Kings 19, verse 11, "And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." There'll be a quiz on this. Actually, no, that's part of our illustration. And so, the illustration demands to have a whiteboard. And so, here we begin. If I were to take a circle, draw a large circle here, and say, this represents everything in the universe, everything that's created. Earth and stars and human beings and animals and the sun and moon and just everything that is created. And then I ask you a question, and the question is this. Where in this whole business do I put God? Is God part of the created world? Is God created? Oh, so he created the world, so he's not part of the creation. So where do I put God? He's got to be on the outside, because there's a difference between the creator and the created. So God's on the outside, right? This is something that throughout the Old Testament, the prophets just tearing out their hair trying to get people to understand. He is not part of the creation. He's not a force of nature. He's not. And you come to 1 Kings 19, and Elijah's there at the mountain of God, and certain things happen. And you remember, verse 11, what's the first thing?
Strong wind.
Okay, wind. What's the next one that?
Earthquake.
Earthquake. This is really going to go somewhere. And then fire. Okay, those are the three. And we stop there for a moment. Wind, earthquake, fire. Now, going off on a, seems like a tangent, but remember in classical education when they talked about the Greek philosophers and what they believed the world was made of? They had four elements. Do you remember what those four were? Okay. So they had air. Okay, and combine that with wind. And then they had earth. And they had fire. And the fourth of them was water. Okay, now, that's about the time in the world when Elijah was around and these things are happening, and what's God saying to Elijah? And the Lord was not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. Before we go to the fourth one, detour. As the prophets are tearing out their hair, trying to get the people around to listen to this. They're saying, he's not part of the creation, he's God. What part of God don't you understand? Isaiah has this wonderful thing. He goes, what kind of madness is this? The guy, he takes an axe, he cuts down the tree, he takes and he saws it and he chisels it and he fashions a figure and he makes an idol out of it. Oh, with the leftover pieces, he builds a fire. He cooks his lunch, he eats his lunch, says, ooh, that was a nice fire. But then he takes this thing that he's fashioned with his own hands and he says, ooh, a god, I'm going to bow down and worship that. What? What part of the word God does he not understand? He confuses the God who is outside of the creation, who created the creation, with something in the creation. There is a name of one of those gods in our reading. Baal. You know what Baal is? A storm god. Yeah. So Baal, the nations around would say that their gods are forces of nature. Forces of nature? You mean they're part of the created world according to you? So how can you say that something that is part of the created world is God? Which part of this word don't you get yet? And then others were worshiping the stars and the planets. And, you know, what did the Greeks and Romans name their gods after? Stars and planets. Part of the created world. And notice this. Please notice this. If the God that you're worshiping is a part of the created world, then that God will fail at some point. That God will pass away, or that God's help for you will pass away. There's nothing eternal about anything in this created world. And all of you nations around that are worshiping these things in the created world, you are admitting that your gods are not God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, King, we are not going to worship the God you made. What kind of God is it that you can make that God? Even if you put us to death, we won't do that. Worship something that's created? Oh, is this history lesson? Wait a minute, what's been happening around us in the world? Going to write them down. Pyramid power. Okay? Crystals. Wicca. Nature power things, nature, force of nature religions. And people are chasing after these things. And if you listen to them, and actually listen and ask, what are they saying is the truth? They're saying that if somehow you harmonize your life or your prayers with forces of nature, then you can influence the created world, the forces of nature, in the way that you want it. So if I harmonize in a certain way, I can get something out of it. But the created world. And even if they're right, that's not God. God is the eternal one. Admitting complete failure there. Complete total failure. Or, again, in our day, it's political season. If only our candidates are elected, things will be good. No. Your candidates are part of this created world. They will fail. If only the doctors will figure out the cure for what I've got, then everything will be all right. No. Again, your doctors are part of the created world. Anything you worship in this created world will fail. It's designed to be that way. And yet people go chasing after these things. Now, every summer, movies come out and there's superheroes. So, and a few years back, it was Thor. You know what Thor is? A Scandinavian god. force of nature with his hammer and thunder and lightning and whatever. Force of nature. It fails. It fails. And religion that relies on that fails. And the prophet said to the people of Israel, and what you worship, this is what you will end up like. Now, failing. Now, modern man wouldn't fall for that. No. Let's just break into Disney's circle of life. Celebrating that it's all confined within this and you will die. That's a wonderful religion, isn't it? And the prophets are saying, there is something that has been given to us, and it is given by God to us. So how does God, who is apart from, separated from, different from the creation, how does God do anything within the creation? What's the fourth thing, Elijah?
Water.
No, not water.
Whisper.
Whisper. And whispers are made of words. Hey, we should have suspected that after all in Genesis chapter 1. And God said. And God said. And that's all we need. It's the word. God's word. God's words. Coming into and God's words creating our world. God's words coming to Elijah, God's words speaking to Elijah, who is to understand that the eternal God has put something of eternity into the world. The something of eternity, though, is not sun or moon or stars. The something of eternity is not forces of nature. The something of eternity is the Word. The old translation, a still small whisper, which is quite remarkable, not in the overblown, overhyped, and over appreciated, but in the quiet that carries within it eternal power, that carries within it everything. So the word coming to Elijah sets us up for the rest of our sermon hymn, verses 3 through 6, which we rise on the last verse, and for the second part of this meditation. Let's sing. Once again, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may be seated as we continue with the end of the gospel lesson. Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So, it needs another illustration. I brought my rope. Move over to the one side, okay? It'll make it easier, and I won't string the rope down the aisle. And I'll ask you, take hold of this, pass it back row by row. Each row has to have a part of this. Okay, there we are. And, well, there's more left. This is representing the Word of God. The Word of God connects us. The Word of God links us up. The Word of God is what God sends into this world to and send the rope back another aisle. So our illustration, the Word of God, yeah, there we are. The Word of God connects us. And what Peter says is, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Like the illustration there, how do you connect the eternal God, who is not the creation, who is apart from creation, how does he connect in? Well, he connects through the Word. The Word. So, we will take the rope and we will connect it up over here where we read the Word of God from there. But then there is, we've got to have something else, the Word of God in the water. So, God gives his Word to us connected with the water, right? And then there is, of course, that's something else again. The Word of God in the supper. We have the words of Jesus there in the Lord's Supper. I have one little piece of rope left to go. One little piece. Where do I connect the last piece? Connect it up to Jesus, who, interestingly, when the Apostle John was writing his gospel, how did he start? In the beginning was the Word. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word of God, connecting the eternal in with our world. Without the eternal connected, and what are we? Trapped in this existence with nothing else but what there is in this life. And when this life is over, then it's over without the Word of God. If you do not have the eternal, you don't have anything. But if you do have the eternal, why? You have all that God gives. You have not only God giving an eternal existence, you have the blessings of God, the love of God, the life of God connected with your life. The faithfulness of God, the Word of God, the promises of God, the joys and blessings of God, and on and on and on it goes. You are connected in with God if you have that Word of God. Let's go a little step further. Because the Word of God is, as we said just a moment ago, not just the printed on the pages Word of God, but the Word with hands and feet, the Word with a voice, the Word with eyes and ears, the Word born in Bethlehem, the Word that did miracles, the Word that fasted and was hungry, the Word that fell asleep in the boat out on the lake and then calmed the winds and the waves. By what? By the Word. The Word speaking the Word. And you have then the Word who knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. The Word that was beaten and the Word that was nailed to the cross. The Word that died. The Word that rose. This is how God, eternal God, connects in sending his Word into the world. But not enough to just speak it. It has to be the Word with flesh so that he can connect us with Jesus and bring eternal life to this flesh. That Word of God spoken to us, the Word of God poured over us, the Word of God put in our mouths for us to eat and drink. That Word of God. And going even further, it was absolutely necessary, it had to happen, that the Word of God had to die and rise. Because we, caught in this finite creation, we, bound to this created world, we would die. So he took our death. We in this world had sinned. So he came to take our sin on him. We had wandered off from God. He came to be forsaken by God. And in every way, he walks with us to lift us, out of this created existence and have us receive a part of the eternal. Have us connect with the eternal in God. That changes everything for us. But it changes it. It changes us. It changes it because Jesus Christ, the Word of God, came into this world and became one of us. And that's the most amazing thing. So Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? There isn't anything else. No doctor, no scientist, no great political leader, no philosopher, none of them. None of them have the words of eternal life. It's your word. Your word connects us in. And when the word comes out of the mouth of Jesus, you know what happens? Well, I'll tell you three words that he said. You tell me what happened. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus returned to life. That word, that eternal word, brings the life. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what we have in Jesus. Which is why Christianity, now some have said, this is not a religion. They're right, it's not. It's a relationship. Christianity, it's a celebration. It's a receiving from God what God pours out. It's not us trying to make our way to God. It is the Word of God bursting into our world with all of His blessings. And so we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we do anything else, let me
unravel
so we don't fall over everything. Yeah. Watch the pastor catch a foot on the rope in the middle of something. Do a face plant. That wouldn't be good. Okay. I'll do part of this and we will gather our... Oh, we rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.